Your heart beats faster and faster.
An eerie mist slithered slowly across the room. It went extremely cold as I was filled with doom. The mist grew intense and came towards me, and a ghostly specter within there I did see. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a poem by Christopher Robin entitled So You Don't Believe in Ghosts, and this is your Ghost by the Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, paranormal broadcasting filled with the Christmas spirit and a few other spirits tonight, and we're ready to go.
All right, guys. Hey, gang, we're back live in studio. We'll be in the G&D chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is the December 6th broadcast of the G&D show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on, there we go. Absurd Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio and the Black Vault Radio Network and the Para-X Radio Network.
There we go. We skipped another line to the intro, but that's okay. We mix it up, man. That's how we do it.
There we go. What did we miss there?
Well, our names. This is your ghost man, Sean B.
And we're waiting for...
This is the Sex Panther, Jason Gowen.
It's the Sex Kitten, everybody.
The okay, Sex Dancer.
Every week we go through this. It is not kitten.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
Right. Okay, guys. Tonight's guest, we look into the mind of author Lena Lee and talk about her recent book, Skulls of Salvation. Tonight, we talk Crystal Skulls, Atlantis. Atlantis. It sounds like a mayonnaise guy. Atlantis. Atlantis. And take many, many more subjects tonight on the G&D show.
Okay. Right back. Finding my center. Getting into that good place.
Are you with us, Nathan? Are you with the show?
I feel it. I'm in the right place. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast. And it starts right now.
You heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Follow someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
And the Sex Kid.
We videotaped that, guys. Audio taped it. That sounds professional. The Sex Kitten.
And the Sex Kitten. Yeah.
It's not like a kitten. Stop calling me kitten. I'm not a kitten.
But you're fuzzy and cute.
Oh,
so it's a grizzly bear.
Yeah, until you get up close to it. But hey, everybody, once again, this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. It must be another Sunday night. Thanks for joining us. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, baby. Hello. So I've been playing with my new sound bites. We got a new sound system here, you know.
Ooh.
So I can play funny sounds. Yeah.
How come? Like now the new stuff is showing up at the studio over with you, and my stuff just keeps getting older and older and falling. Wait, no, it's just like me. Never mind.
Yeah, it just keeps getting older and older. So what'd you guys do this week? Been a busy week or what?
I'll say.
Is that your answer?
I want two cheeseburgers.
I'm not gonna go into my week.
Go into it. I want to hear it.
No, I'm not gonna know. Not on the air. I'll tell you later.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, I had a heck of a week. I'm still finishing up Christmas shopping, guys, for the boys, and of course, all the listeners around the world. I'm sure you guys are doing the same thing. It is the season to be jolly and to go out and spend thousands of dollars on toys and stuff like that that'll get thrown away in like 6 months. So, it's been rough, man. I fought the crowds yesterday, and Kind of wore out from it all, really.
I have not really done my Christmas shopping since Black Friday. I need to go out and finish, and haven't done it yet.
I kind of went in Scrooge mode, man.
Well,
you did? Yeah, I noticed, humbug. Sean, you have been a little bah humbug. Like, you've been all bah humbug this past, like, 2 weeks.
I have. I'm sick of spending money, man.
Well, why do you have to go and take a big, warm, steamy poop all over Christmas?
I don't know.
Just had sex with my mama.
It just feels good. I like doing it. But, yeah, the Transformers is a big thing this year, and apparently you can't find them anywhere, but I've been looking for them everywhere, and I found Bumblebee today.
What one do you need? I might already have them. What one do you need?
I need the big one. There's the new big one. It's like $45.
Sean likes it big.
Oh, the detonator, not detonator, but the demolisher?
I don't know.
I'll tell you later. I might have it, actually.
Where do you keep that stuff stockpiled or what?
He does. He finds out what's going to be the most famous.
Every Christmas, I have traditionally find out what toy is going to be hottest and buy a crap load of them early then hawk them on eBay for giant prices.
I was still waiting.
Jason
for the
is just full of the Christmas spirit. Listen to this.
I was still waiting for the Extreme Paranormal dolls to come out. I haven't seen those anywhere.
I haven't either. I have seen that the DVD is available on Bio, but
well, I heard they tried to do it, but they couldn't package Jason Gowen's boots that he wore during the show. So
it all comes in a giant. Maybe it all comes in a giant scuba suit, there, Sean, and just exploding from the suit.
Oh man, what a week. Hey, we got news though. We got all kinds of stuff. Do you guys, this is a little story I was looking at before the show. Do you remember a couple years, actually 2007, they released that the Jungle Girl. They had found her living in the wilderness all her life. She was like a wild animal, and they found her in Cambodia.
Oh, that girl I dated, yes.
Yeah, well, you probably turned her that way. But it says the Cambodian woman who emerged from the forest in February of 07 after spending 18 years surviving alone in the wilderness has been trying to go back. Rochum Penenge, drink up, guys, has been unable to learn to speak, refuses to wear clothes, and has been turning away food. That can't be huge. That
cannot
be.
Well, that's not us then.
I know. Her parents, who identified her from a scar on her face, have had her hospitalized, but she won't stay calm unless someone holds her hand the whole time. And they go on to say that they can't keep clothes on this girl. She keeps throwing her clothes off every chance she gets when they put her out in the yard, and she runs into the wild again. So I thought that was a pretty wild story. I mean, that's right here,
As long as we know it's a girl, because, you know, the description there, you know, it throws off the clothes, runs into the wild. I really thought it was Jason for a second, so.
I know, a Cambodian woman. That's what it is over in Cambodia. Well, what is in the water in Cambodia, man? What's not in the water?
Probably not Martin Nelson.
He might not be there. So what else is going on? Nathan, what'd you do this weekend? Anything?
Today I went out and bought my Christmas tree.
Yeah?
How'd that go?
That actually went well. It was a painless experience for a change. Went up to the United Methodist Church in New Milford, Connecticut, because they're, they sell the trees to gain money for scholarships, and I figured this year I'd try and actually do something for someone other than myself for Christmas, you know, and change my bah humbug ways a little bit, and bought a nice tree, and now.
And the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
No, it did not.
That's how I roll.
After I bought the tree, I kicked an old man in the shin. Yeah, that balanced out the karma. Yeah.
Good.
But, you know,
call me Whiskers. That's how I roll. Call me Whiskers.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to stick with the stories or what, because we do have news, but I haven't talked to either one of you hardly this week, so I didn't know.
Well, you know, it's funny, Sean. I've barely been seeing you online, and with my new job, I've got those weird hours where I'm getting home from work just as you're going to work, and Jason's been busy all week. Although, Jason, I did notice that you were
getting
upset that you
wax.
Didn't get to... You didn't get to go out and do anything last night because of the snow.
Well, even that didn't stop me. I ended up walking to the bar.
Nice.
Now, Jason, you out of the three of us are the one that drinks the least. So why did you need to go to the bar?
Because my friends were all there. So, like, it was the only place you could get to, really. So I just went there. Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Like, I don't drink often, but, like, I have been known to toss back a Yingling or two.
A Yingling!
Yingling. You remember Yingling, Sean, the very first beer you and I ever drank together?
I do. It was the very first pitcher of beer we ever drank together.
Yes, and we drank it, like, in the first 30 seconds and had to order a second one.
Right. Yeah, I think we did, like, 6 or 7 pitchers that night.
Well, it was funny because you kept ordering them. And then saying, this one's yours, Nate, and I had to pay for it. I was like, really, I'm done, Sean. No, we'll order another one.
I don't remember that. I remember seeing you walk in the bar, and that was about it, man. But that was cool. When we were in Gettysburg, we were in that bar that was right across from the battlefield.
Right behind Spangler Springs.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, hey, I miss Gettysburg.
We really need to get back to Gettysburg. And, you know, we've talked before to, who is it, who runs the Haunted Gettysburg or the tours?
Mark Nesbitt.
We've talked to him before about doing a show live from his location. Maybe we should get back down there, do a weekend come the new year or something, hopefully get out there. And, of course, you know, there's always the hope we'll be out filming. For Extreme Paranormal, too, so...
Yeah.
You never know.
I got so much energy. I'm ready to go.
I got none.
Yeah, you sound like you aren't going to even be able to get up off the couch.
I'm beat down tonight, boys, I tell you. I'm pushing through it. But, hey, guess who's in the news again? Amityville Horror thrills again.
What? Well, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah, the new Amityville movie. Tell me about it.
There you go. The most famous haunted house to return to the big screen. November 30th, 2009. If at first you don't succeed, we suppose, after a less than stellar remake launched in 2005, Hollywood is once again attempting to rework the classic supernatural thriller, The Amityville Horror, for a return to the big screen. This time around, Dimension Films and the Weinstein Company are rattling their chains through the classic haunted house. According to our friends over at Bloody Disgusting, producers are apparently in talks with director to helm the reboot, reimagining remake, whatever the approach might be, the original 1979 film basis, which focuses on the pair of newlyweds moving into their first and definitely haunted house, unveils the ghostly aftermath of a long-ago murder that took place, and the ghosts haunt the house to this day, is what it says. So,
what was it you told me that George said about the last one when he went to see it, Jason?
Oh, well, after he was in the movie, he hated it so much that he walked out, and he's like, I'd like my money back. And they're like, sir, you didn't like the movie? And he's like, well, it's the worst movie I've ever been in.
Yeah, next to those spank films, right? That's what we...
That was you, Sean.
That was you.
Yeah, but I'm anxious to see it, guys. And I know a lot of people, they take it to heart, these shows and stuff, but you know what? It's been said on this show many times, it's a movie. And it's based loosely on, you know, real events. And I think it's good. I love that scary feeling you get looking over your shoulder when a good scary flick comes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and you know, here's the thing. And I really do truly believe that something bad happened to the family in Amityville. Like, George Lutz was a very good friend of mine. And I've seen him talk about it personally. I've seen emails between the family that they didn't intend for anybody else to see. And they definitely had something happen. I just don't know that it was quite the dog and pony show that it turned out to be.
Right. Right. I don't know. But you know, like you said, you were friends with George. You got to talk to him firsthand, and you got to go behind the scenes, if you will, and talk to the main guy. And I haven't even got to talk to Brolin. Is it Charles Brolin? Who was the actor in the original
James
one?
James Brolin.
Yeah, I haven't even got to talk to him. But I did see his son in No Country for Old Men.
That was a good movie.
That was a real good movie. I really enjoyed it. But we got another movie news come out, guys, and this is one deep to my heart. Stephen King to write a sequel to The Shining.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Stephen King tends to write things on dares, bets with his friends. When he wrote The Green Mile, it was on a bet that he could write a book in the fashion of Charles Dickens, doing it in the little increment books and like Dickens did with Pickwick Papers. When he wrote Storm of the Century, it was on a dare to write a screenplay for a straight TV movie, And when he does, well, Green Mile was good, but I mean, sometimes when he writes things on dares, I have to wonder about him. And this one sounds like one of the dares that somebody dared him to do it.
What do you think about the last movie he made? What was the name of that? The Mist?
The Mist. Well, that wasn't the last one he did, was it? The last movie that he made?
It might have been. Yeah, I think it was. That was the last one that was made into a movie.
Hmm. You know, I didn't see The Mist. I did. Somebody did tell me about the end of it. And then the end of the movie compared to the end of the book. The book was so much better that I didn't even bother to watch the movie.
Oh, I never read the book. What was the ending of the book?
I don't read.
Oh, yes, you do. The Red Room Riddle.
That's right. Over and over again.
But, no, the end of the movie. Well, I don't want to give away the end of the movie for people who may not have seen it. And or the end of the book, because people might actually read it. Our listeners actually read. So that's the end of the book was far more believable. You know, you're dealing with giant bugs coming out of the mist and stuff like that. So how believable is it? But of course, when we were in New Orleans, we saw a lot of giant bugs coming out of the mist. But
oh my God, yeah.
But yeah. You know, the end, I could accept the end of the book as a way that this could end, where the end of the movie, I didn't think, from how it was explained to me, didn't seem believable at all to me.
Well, I thought it was a good show. I like what Stephen King does. I like how he bases, because he grew up out there in that area, right? Massachusetts, Maine.
Oh, yeah. Well, to this date, you know, after his early work, like Cujo, which was terrifying, because you could actually see yourself being in that position with Cujo. And, you know.
What, in the doggy position? Ah, doggy style.
You know, your mind went straight to that, Sean, so we'll leave that one to you. But, you know, no, being trapped by a rabbit.
Are you kidding? How do you think he's doing the show right now?
You know, if the microphone doesn't have to be on the floor, Sean. It's okay.
That's how I roll.
Right.
But, the whole idea that, you know, a rabid dog. Growing up on the farm, we were always afraid of rabid animals. So, you know, that was believable. It was scary. Something like the Stand, you know, the we all wonder how the world's going to end kind of idea. You know, that stuff's scary. But lately, I think the most recent thing that I wrote that I really, really loved was Bag of Bones. And I would have I'd like to see that turned into a movie. You know
what really got me? When we were out on location filming, we all had, you know, when we slept in the same rooms and stuff like that, when we were doing the filming and everything, I always thought of Jason as like JoJo the Circus Boy, you know? You have to watch him at night. I thought I'd like wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be eating my heart or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I always kind of thought of you as like the bearded woman.
Anyway, let's read this real quick. Stephen King to write a sequel to The Shining. During a reading of his new book, Under the Dome, Stephen King made a comment about a new project he might pursue, nothing less than a sequel to The Shining. This story, tentatively titled Dr. Sleep, would follow Danny Torrance, the clairvoyant boy who survived his father's breakdown and murderous spree in the Overlook Hotel. Danny would now be 40 years old and working at New York City Hospice, using his psychic ability to tend to the patients. King remarked that though he ended his 1977 novel on a positive note, The Overlook was bound to have left young Danny with a lifetime's worth of emotional scars. What Danny made of those traumatic experiences and with the psychic powers that saved him from his father at The Overlook is a question that King believes might make a damn fine sequel. And that comes out of the Toronto Press, guys. Actually, you get that at examiner.com. Thanks to our good friends at examiner.com. For lending us that story, that's a
well,
real
yeah,
good one.
Because like in the traditional Jack Nicholson version of the movie, everybody seems to have that final memory of Danny's father trying to kill him. Where in the book, it's a far different ending, you know. So it's
so. I do think you guys Stephen King should do a rendition of like Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Well, I think he did write Alvin and Chipmunks, the one that's coming out on Christmas Day. I think that's
the one with the little chipmunk girls.
Yes.
Gonna be
yes.
How much do you guys want to bet they would be from the town of Castle Rock? Well, you see that in almost every flick, man.
Well, it's Castle Rock or it's what's the other town that Stephen King does all the movies in? The Derry or Derry.
Yeah.
Derry, Maine or something like that. It's where it took place and actually, I think Insomnia took place there, and a lot of his books. He likes to have his stories intertwined, so.
Right. You guys know Heather Graham, the actress?
Oh, yeah, from Austin Powers 2.
Yeah, Austin Powers 2.
No, I don't know her. Sorry.
Yeah, very, very fine actress. She's very good at what she does. It says Heather Graham states publicly, guys, I'm a witch. Not me, of course. She is a witch. It says Heather Graham has revealed that she has started a witch coven with her friends. The Hangover star.
Oh, my God, I want in that coven.
See? Yeah, get in there. The Hangover star, who was previously said that she believes in reincarnation, said they cast spells on Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, to ensure that he got into the White House. Graham is quoted by MSN as saying, it's just for fun. We never jinx someone with evil spells. We meet in order to release positive energy. When one of us wishes to meet a great guy, we try to have an influence on that. That's why you haven't met her yet, Jason. The 39-year-old actress continued, we sent Barack Obama positive energy so that he would become the next president of the United States. I always liked magic. Now when I see Obama's picture in the paper, I feel so good.
Now why do you cast a spell on me, Gypsy?
Happy times.
Who is this woman you shrunk?
Yeah, that was good. I like that. That was good. I actually watched Bruno last night for the first time.
How was that?
Oh, man. We'll have to talk later about that one, guys.
Shut up!
Weren't all our producers telling us when we were out on the road that we had to see Bruno or something like that?
They kept peddling the Hangover, but they wanted to see Bruno.
You are a real man. High five.
So this is the girl that was in the Hangover. Okay, I do.
Yeah,
I,
the stripper.
I did enjoy the Hangover. So and she was very good in it. I just have a problem with I'm a fan of people practicing their belief systems and things like that, but I myself get a little leery of anybody saying, you know, oh, we used this spell for this to happen and it happened. You know, then what if it hadn't happened? Were you just a bad practitioner of magic? I don't know.
Maybe you need the tears of the children.
The tears of the gypsy.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, though, if you're a witch, it's a bad time to be one in Saudi Arabia. Kingdom steps up, hunt for witches and black magicians, guys. This is out of Saudi Arabia. When the popular 46-year-old Lebanese psychic Ali Sabat, S-I-B-A-T, went on air and made his predictions about the future, the phone lines to the satellite television station Shahrazad used to be flooded with calls. But what the star psychic probably did not predict that was his claims to the supernatural prowess would land him a death sentence. Yeah, you didn't hear me wrong. A death sentence, guys. He was the most popular psychic on the channel. The Lebanese news agency Nahernet quoted Sabat's lawyer May Kassa as saying the number of callers, including from all over the Gulf, spiked in number when he appeared on the show. But while in pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia last year, Sabat was spotted by religious police in the holy city of Medina. Their job is to battle vice and uphold virtue in the ultra-conservative kingdom. So they arrested Sabat in his room at the Medina Hotel on charges of sorcery. So yeah, good time to be in the U.S., man.
So apparently it would be a bad time after the blood ritual on Extreme Paranormal for me to go to Saudi Arabia.
Right, I think all three of us would be.
Yeah.
This is on November 9th, guys, Sabat was given a death sentence by Mecca court for allegedly practicing witchcraft. Sabat's fate is common in Saudi Arabia. Scores of alleged witch doctors, fortune tellers, and black magicians each year are dragged through the Saudi courts, including Faza Fali, who has been on death row since 2006 for witchcraft, guys. All I got to say is, lighten up. My God.
It's amazing to me that in this day and age, there are still areas of the world where, like, you can be prosecuted and put to death for something like that.
Yeah, I know. In today's
it's
society,
not amazing
that's why...
at all. That's what people seem to forget. We live in the safety of the United States where you can say and believe and do what you want. It's, you know, as long as you're not harming someone else, you know, own a gun, have free speech, have your own belief systems. But really, you get out of this cushy little thing that we call the U.S. and our immediate friends, and it's not safe at all. Are you trying to whistle the, okay.
What was that?
That was Jason mouthing the mic. He got a little excited. So
I was whistling.
Oh, okay.
You guys stop every time. Is it not coming through clear?
It's just coming through too clear. It's just coming through when we're speaking.
Oh, well, I guess that's bleep it out here. Tough. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to do it. Giant snake slithering across the U.S., guys. You want to hear about this?
What?
Giant snake slithering across the United States.
Blech.
Yeah, we've heard about this in the news lately, guys. You know, it's coming up on 2012, and everything's getting bigger, and the ice caps melting, and all this global warming. Experts fear 20-foot-long killers could view humans as food source. It says an invasion of monstrous reptiles is threatening the lives of innocent Americans. 9 species of giant snakes have been released into the wild by irresponsible exotic pet owners over the last decade. The Burmese North American and Southern African pythons, boa constrictor, and yellow anaconda are especially dangerous, says zoologist Raymond Nixon. They often exceed 20 feet in length and weigh more than 200 pounds, and they won't hesitate to turn on humans as a food source. Scientists believe hundreds of thousands of these colossal creatures are on their way to Florida, Jason. On their way from Florida, where snake populations have already exploded to the lower third of the country. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, the thing is, how far north can they really go? Because once it gets cold, won't they die?
No, they won't die. They'll just hibernate during the winter.
Actually a good question, but the snakes can adapt to their surroundings. So now you go swimming in the lake, man, and you're in Illinois or something, and you get wrapped up by a 17-foot-long python. You know, that's crazy.
See,
man,
this is exactly why I don't go in the water, Sean. Because giant snakes are coming, and we all know how Jason feels about snakes. So
how do you feel,
Jason? I'm not too bad with them anymore. I've recently faced that fear.
Have you?
I have. I have a friend who has a python, and I've been holding it.
I bet you have.
have you been stroking it?
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, "Oh, I cannot believe I set him up like that."
His giant python came out of your mouth, did it?
It wasn't in my mouth. It was just holding in my hand. Oh, uh-huh. God, I can't.
You ruined it. Okay, guys, your Christmas tree could make for a miserable holiday. This is it, and there ain't no more, guys, so listen up. University of Texas, a new study has found that about 10% of the population is allergic to pollen from some of the most popular natural Christmas trees and could spend the holidays sniffling and sneezing if they bring these trees indoors. Their worst offender is a tree called the mountain cedar, but any tree can contain mold spores that could pose problems for people prone to allergic reactions. Study leader Dr. Dave Kahn suggests buying an artificial tree. If you go to the natural route, have the tree treated with fungicide to kill mold spores before you bring it home. Now, how did we get through all these years when I was a kid, man? How did you get, you know, we always brought them into the house, you know?
Well, one of the things I remember as a kid is all the in the school, we would go out to the tree farm and buy a tree every year for our classrooms. We never had a problem like that. I don't know what's going on now. Everything is bad for you now. Everything. I mean,
people are such wimps. People need to toughen up.
Unless you're going to live on unsalted, unbuttered, air-popped popcorn, apparently everything is bad now.
And snake, apparently.
And snakes.
We're going to be overpopulated here in the next 5 months.
And we'll all be too weak from hunger to run away from the snakes because we didn't eat. So
they might not want us at that point. We might be too skinny for them. They'd be like, oh, my God, I don't want them. Go after Gowan.
You know, it's interesting. When we were out in the swamp, Sean, remember, I had told everybody that having a snake there with you is a very good thing to do while you're performing voodoo because it's a symbol of the Loa coming through to speak to you. So it's good to have a snake with you. And we wanted to put the snake in the coffin with Jason while we were performing that part of the ritual.
But I made it very clear it seemed a whole lot like Fear Factor to me.
Only because you were scared to death of the snake.
There was not. No, because it was like Fear Factor, and we don't even have Joe Rogan on our show.
Oh, I don't know. What a great time, though, that was. I'd love to bury you again sometime really soon. That was so much fun.
I'm glad.
It was. So I seen you and Nathan. You guys have been doing your radio tours. What did you guys do last week? The some radio show?
Oh, the Sheena, yeah, the Sheena Metal Experience. Yep. In Los Angeles. Yeah. That was very fun.
I actually mostly enjoyed it because you weren't there.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figured you both feel the same way. That's okay. When I write my book about us, I'll tell everybody the truth behind the scenes. What really happened. So
you're gonna out our torrid affair.
I am. I'm going to bring it down. But hey, I wanted to thank everybody. I didn't do this, but I did actually thank them. But thank guys. Thanks to all the guys listening tonight from around the world to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show. Actually, we're almost halfway through, so if it's not good yet, then...
then it's too late. Hey, who do we have in the chat room there, Sean?
We got all kinds of folks there tonight. We got Michelle Hignan. We got...
It's Michael.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry. Michael Hignan. You got Ghost Chaser, Sir Gareth, Shelly, Jerry, Kenny Biddle, good friend, Opal Daisy, The Tart, Lana, or husband, and lovely darling, LT Cochran, PC. I can't see. See, it always cuts off their names in the chat room.
Well, if you actually click on them, it opens up, Sean, and you'll see the whole name.
I don't have time to click on them, Nathan. Very important timing here. You know, this is live radio. But hey, guys, thanks for joining us in the chat room. And, of course, the people that haven't gotten the chat room, I don't know why you haven't. And we want people to go to the forums, guys. We've been posting links, posting our stories in there. We'd really like to hear from you guys. Maybe you could make us help us out, actually. Nathan, Jason, and myself have been trying to come up with a way to raffle off this book. We got an autographed copy of Spirit Speak, and it's Knowing and Understanding Spirit Guides, Ancestors, Ghost Angels, and the Divine by Evo Dominguez Jr. And it's a brand new book. Like I said, it's personally autographed by Evo, and you guys maybe could help us come up with a way, a contest that we could raffle this off. So go to the forums and post your ideas in there.
There you go. You know, my personal idea is that people should go on and tell us their favorite haunted location and why it's their favorite haunted location.
That's a good idea, but what would be the deciding factor in that?
Well, we'll just well, that's a good idea. You know, how do we?
I think we should make it a psychic contest, and we'll put something in a box and put it away. Only the three of us will know what it is and have them use their psychic powers to guess.
I don't know. I don't trust you, Jason. You'll tell all the hot girls what's in it so they can call in and win.
No hot girls listen to this show.
Everybody knows.
The hot girls listen to this show. Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, Ghostman Demon Hunter chicks are hot, man.
You're used to being on that Encounters show. That's your problem.
Yeah, oh, even really. Less what? Listen to that one.
I know. Did you do? Are you still doing that before our show?
No, they're currently on hiatus. They left their studio, and they're currently waiting for the new studio to be built.
You know, everybody's on hiatus right now, Sean, except us.
Yeah, we just keep punching it out, man.
We took our hiatus this summer so that we could work harder. We planned something wrong there. You know,
we did. I know I used up all my vacation time. I'm starting to feel it now, man. End of the year, I'm like, oh, no. I got to go to work now. I can't even take a vacation day, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man. It's almost over. It's almost over, so.
12 more school days out there, I think, for you parents. I think that's all that's left before the kids are off on vacation, and then New Year starts. Hey, did you guys get any snow with that storm that came through this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you? I got a little. There's a little bit on the ground outside, but nothing really stuck to the roads or anything.
Ours got the roads pretty bad. It was actually really icy here. Like, that's why I couldn't go out. It kind of ruined my Saturday night.
And heaven forfend. I've been drinking too much listening to Sean read the news.
No.
You know, heaven for what?
It's the word's not coming out tonight.
Heaven forbid?
Forbid, that'll work. That you spend a Saturday at home, Jason?
I'm trying to take care of a hot girl.
Was she able to get to the
Break
bar?
Break yourself, fool!
We couldn't. The roads were too bad. I attempted to get to her, but it didn't work.
So you had to take care of a hot girl. And because you couldn't, you went out to the bar.
Yes. I drank my sorrows away till Sean started texting me and made me cry.
I sound like my child.
I spent a year telling these guys I can't text. I don't have text on my phone. Don't text me. Now I have a text phone, and they're just going to get, I have to wait till they get in the habit of texting me again.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Was going to ask Jason, I guess. Apparently male strippers don't come out in the snow or what? I mean, you said you were.
Oh, I see. That's how we're going to play. We'll play this game. You want to do the dance?
Hey,
you want to do the dance, daddy? You
want to
do the
calm dance down, right kitten.
Now, daddy-o?
Calm down, kitten. Calm down. Calm down.
Calm down.
He would never hit me. He'd have to put down his White Castle burger.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, this really scary thing is here's the holidays coming up. This is normally the time where I have the most time off and I can go out and do the most ghost hunting, get out into the locations that I want to, like, go to other than people's homes where I can ghost hunt for the joy of being out and investigating. And now with the new job and everything, I just can't get out to do it. And it's disappointing. Yeah, I wish I could be out ghost hunting right now, going to some of my favorite places. But I guess that's part of growing up, huh? And
yeah, I guess that's a bad part of growing up. I was actually thinking about it the other day, man, about Gettysburg. This would be a good time of year because we've been having fairly good weather here. I don't know about Pennsylvania, but
well, up until yesterday, we were having pretty good weather here.
Yeah, up until yesterday, exactly.
You know, I don't think it's ghost hunting until you're standing in the middle of a cemetery and your nose is frozen solid and you can't feel your hands and the cold flashlight's in your pocket. You know what I mean?
Does your flashlight...
Did I tell either one of you I got attacked at the church? Something scratched me? Like, I wasn't aware that could even really happen.
It had only picked you up and thrown you against a wall once, Jason. What made you think it couldn't scratch
you? Yeah, that was like 6 years ago. I didn't think it was still there.
It is.
Apparently, it is.
Anyway, guys, friendly ghost and museum tour guide. What was you going to say, Jason?
I forget.
You were talking about the ghost that scratched you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget now. What? What show is this? Who are you people?
That's right. Who are you? Friendly ghost is museum tour guide. He even helps guests change their lives, guys. Here we go. A pushy ghost with definite opinions about art has become a creepy curator, pointing visitors in the direction of particular works inside a popular museum. Tourists and staff alike have encountered the transparent guide who haunts the California Palace of the Legion of Honor. The magnificent Fine Arts Museum in San Francisco, Ghostbuster Raymond Gross conducted an investigation at the facility, and he and his colleagues believe that ethereal art critic is the ghost of Adolf Spreckles. Spreckles. Spreckles was an immensely wealthy sugar magnate, who, like me, who, along with his wife Alma, founded the museum in 1924. Gross explains he died the same year, but his love for the beautiful building and its contents has kept him around the museum. Robert Morgan, 39, of nearby Oakland, was battling a personal crisis as a jobless single dad when he had a startling encounter with the intrusive spirit.
You're getting me drunk.
I know. I was looking at a painting in one of the galleries when I felt something brush against my shoulder, recalls Morgan, a former magazine art director. I felt it pulling and tugging me toward the gallery sculptures. At first I was frightened, and then suddenly I realized there was a reason for being here. At this moment, I realized this was my calling. I was able to find a job at a local foundry within days after a close friend informed me of a metal worker was just recalled into military duty, and an immediate replacement was needed. So apparently Spreckles is helping people out. I'm not going to read the entire story because it's like a 3-page story, but you had a woman and a husband that were having problems, and the spirit helped them out at the museum. So a lot of people are flocking to the San Francisco Art Gallery to see this ghost. I guess you see him a lot of times, staff and guests alike.
Jeez. Oh,
so wow. The dead do walk the halls of the San Francisco Legion of Honor Arts Museum, Fine Arts Museum. And that's the news.
That's the news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's it, man. But, you know, everybody has been talking about 2012 still, Demon Hunter, right? Did that movie come out? Everybody's been talking.
It came out a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, Jason, everybody said that the movie was going to be terrible. It sucked, but I heard it was really good. John Cusack did a really good job. And
well, Cusack can read the phone book, and it's usually good. So it's.
Yeah, he did really good. I like that one he did, the paranormal thriller he did. A room, what was it, the 6th floor, 12th floor, whatever?
1308,
there you go.
I enjoyed that too, but again, that was a Stephen King book where the book was so much. It was a short story, actually. And it was the short story was so much better than the actual movie.
Isn't John Cusack like a really big fan of paranormal stuff too, though?
I don't remember
reading that somewhere.
I don't know. Let's see if we can get him on the show.
Hey, did you guys hear about this, though? You got Haunted Rentals advertising a ghostly roommate. Now, I know here on the show we covered the how in different states now they have to tell you if the house is believed to be haunted, if there's been murders in it, whatever. But I found this online. It says Haunted Rentals advertising a ghostly roommate. It says the Tucson housing market is teeming with houses and apartments for rent. On Craigslist alone, hundreds of rental opportunities scream for attention. Homeowners and property managers try to convey that one unique quality that will draw the eyes of a potential renter to their ad. With the popularity of ghosts and the paranormal hard to ignore, the thought of advertising a rental as haunted is extremely tempting, whether the paranormal activity actually occurs on the property or not. It says take some time to research real estate laws in your state, because that decision very well may come back to haunt you. So apparently it talks about too many people have been putting up their houses and disclosing the information that, yes, they are, or are telling the information that they are haunted, or reporting them to be haunted, and they're, the people are buying these houses come back and saying, I haven't seen nothing, you know. So, and that's a weird one, man. How do you tell? If you say your house is haunted, I wonder if the haunt follows that person, not the house. You know what I'm saying?
Don't know. I do not know.
Yeah,
I think so. Maybe we should have Martin Nelson on the show. We could ask
him. We could ask him. He shows up, man, every once in a while, you know?
Well, guys, I think it's that time for us to take a quick break, but take about 5 minutes, play some music, and then come back with our guest.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, hold on one second here. You guys talk amongst yourselves, so I'm looking up some paperwork here. Okay, and I found it. There we go. Okay, we got to have some music tonight, Demon Hunter.
Yes, we are.
We like our independent bands, guys, here at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. We try to get a new one every weekend for you guys. This week it's Diane, Catherine, and the Thrusty Tweeters. That's Diana, Catherine.
You said thrust.
I know. Diane, Catherine, and the Thrusty Tweeters, guys. And this song is titled The Train Song. And you can find out more about that at GarageBand.com. So check this out, guys. We hope you really like it. Then stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll also have
Who doesn't love the Thrusty Tweeters?
We'll also have a quick bit by, piece by our
That's how I roll.
Call me Whisker.
By our guest tonight called Creatures of the Night. So we'll be back in a few.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
The wind seems to violently blow as I see the shadows of the trees dancing in the moonlight. In the reflection of the pond, the moon seems to glow. The illumination of the moon seems very bright. Listen, quiet. You can hear them sing. The creatures of the night singing their hideous song. The silence of the night, their voices sting. They sing their song in unison, as if to a choir they belong. The song they sing, you would think they are sad, but you must understand why they sing, trying to say in their existence they are glad. Creatures of the night, to your song forever cling. You make the darkness of the night seem alive, each of you singing in your own different way. Oh, the song of the night, of this please of me never deprive. It's like I understand everything they say. I love these sounds, as they echo in the air. Listening to them, I feel no fear or fright. My dear friends sound as if they haven't a care. For this I know, because I too am a creature of the night.
Full moon is rising. Tied to the tracks, I've left them for dead. Can hear that train coming. It's coming after me. Can you hear that lonely whistle?
Bishop James Long with the United States Old Catholic Church, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Make sure you tune in every single week, because the bishop said so.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Yes.
I think we should call this the Sex Panther and Demon Hunter Show and just get rid of the other guy.
Who's this Sex Panther guy? I
keep,
oh, right. I keep confusing you with the Sex Kitten.
Well, hey, sex welcome. Kitten, stop it.
You are. Welcome back, everybody. That was Diana Catherine in the Thrusty Tweeters Band. You can check more out about them at garageband.com. And thank you, to the whole band for letting us, allowing us to use their music. Very good. I liked it. And that's another thing, guys.
Keep on thrusting your tweets.
Keep on thrusting it, baby. Go to the forums and make sure you let us know what kind of music you guys like. If you like tonight's music, go in there and leave your comments. Let us hear you. Tell us something, people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we got a lot of talks coming up, guys, with 2012. A lot of people are going overboard with it. A lot of people are scared, and a lot of people just don't, I mean, what can you do, right? They're just floating around there. But tonight, we have on author Linnea Lee, and she's the author of Skulls of Salvation. And, of course, we're talking about the crystal skulls there. Linnea, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good. Where's that accent from? I love it.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. That's where you
get in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
No, where
born, bred, and raised.
Where in North Carolina there?
Burlington, the home of the Outlaws.
Oh. I've never been
beautiful.
There.
I did have an overnight in Raleigh, Durham from LAX one time. Or not,
I'm
overnight.
30 miles from there.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful airport.
That's just a hop, skip, and a jump 30 miles down in South Carolina.
Yep.
Or North Carolina.
I like North Carolina. I think it's a great area. Like, the people are all just so nice.
Well, they are. It's that hospitality.
That's Southern hospitality now.
That's it. But you know what, Linnea? I went on your website a couple days ago, and I was looking at some of the facts about you and your life and how you were I mean, just your whole life is amazing, really. I want to say on behalf of our show, all three of us, we take our hats off for you because you have overcome more challenges than I believe a normal person should ever have to go through. I mean, you have just overcome so many adversities. You were in foster care at the age of 15. You were a Navy child. You were a military child. You had to travel around a lot. And essentially, you've been on your own for a very long time now. And look at the good things you're doing. I mean, how was that as a young child?
Not very good. It's like after I went through the adversity of having my stroke, I thought, you know, I said, well, the first half of my life was crap, so mm-hmm. the second half has got to be better.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
And, I'm sorry, Sean. I just wanted to get in there and say, you know, it's one of those things where I wonder if, like your life leading you to write fantasy work was almost like therapy for you from all the stuff that you went through.
In a way, yes, I would say. But my novels I do because I want to hit the bestseller list, but my passion is writing my dark poetry. Now, I love to do that.
Dark poetry. Now, I love reading that myself. I love reading poetry. Actually, we open up the show each week. We try to with some kind of a ghostly poem or dark poem, something like that, that really makes
people stop. Yeah, because he exhausted his supply of Dr. Seuss books.
Yeah.
I bet I've written over 3,000.
Wow. But now, were you like that as a small child? I mean, the we're going to get into here the subject matter, of course, the crystal skulls, the skulls of salvation. But as a young child, what started you in that path of being an author?
My grandmother, she was a self-professed black witch. And believe you me, she was real. I've seen it. I experienced it, and I know.
Wow. She was a black witch?
Yes, she was.
By that, do you mean dark witch, using dark magic?
Yes, very much so.
Wait, what?
Wow.
I witnessed it. I know what she could do.
Yeah,
I hope you never got
sort
on
of
a bad
have you
side.
Seen?
Are you sure you want her to tell you what she's seen, Jason? Because you know you get scared when I tell you what I've seen.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm sleeping alone this evening.
Lots of men in the showers.
In that case, Jason, definitely tell us what you've seen. And say your name again for me so I get it right here. It's
okay. Well, my mom died when I was 8, and my dad being in the Navy, my grandmother never called the Red Cross to tell him that my mom was dead. He was stationed in Okinawa. And when he came home on leave, he found out his wife was dead and his mother-in-law had his only child, no love lost between the two. He took her to court to get custody of me, and because it being in the 60s and him not having a stable home, my grandmother got me. And after the court date, I was 9, and she told me she would make my father sad about life. I even knew then she could physically harm him, and I begged her not to. So she didn't physically harm him, but she put a spell on him, and I didn't see him from 1966 until the year 2000. That is the honest truth.
Now, what kind of spell did she put on him? Did she curse him, or did she...
Pretty much, it was like a hex, I guess you could say, keeping him out of my life.
Now, you say she was a self-proclaimed dark witch, black witch. Did she, like, what kind of practice did she use? Did she follow
dark practice.
There's lots of different dark practices, too. Did she practice, like, a demonic front of her magic?
Yes,
or?
very much so. She didn't use her magic for good or, like, Wicca, where you worship. You know, the earth, fire, wind, and all that. She practiced the dark arts, and she worshipped dark.
Do you know what she worshipped?
No, I don't. I never asked.
Wow, that was amazing. But you were very close to your grandmother. She did that, so she sparked your fascination with the unknown, the other side.
Very much so, but I also had my own experiences, too.
Yeah, well, tell us something about that.
When my mom died, her and her sister never got along. They didn't like each other at all. Mm. And her sister lived in New Mexico. Well, she came, I was about 10, she came to see my grandma. And at the time, I had a set of bunk beds and a double bed in my room. My grandma slept in one of the bunk beds. And they switched beds. My grandmother said she slept downstairs, and that was in the room with me. Well, at the foot of the double bed where I slept was a chair, a rocking chair my mother used to rock me when I was a baby. That chair started rocking totally by itself. Well, I knew then it was my mom. Then something started beating in the walls. My aunt took off like a ball of fire out of her room. My grandmother came back and it didn't happen anymore. My mother did not want her sister around me.
Right. Now, out there, Linnea, out there in North Carolina, is witchery, witchcraft, stuff like that, is that a common practice out that way? Does the community... It's not. So
no,
a lot of...
Isn't that... I mean, that's kind of right in the heart of the Bible Belt, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yes. But look at Louisiana, the home of voodoo and hoodoo.
Oh, we're familiar.
Because, you know, that's there, and they're the part of the Bible Belt, and that one's rampant in Louisiana. I used to live there. I know that, too.
Yeah. We were reading a story, Linnea, first half, about over in Saudi Arabia. They're actually putting people to death in 2009, putting people to death for witchcraft.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing. It's like the Salem witch trials, but in 2009, 2010.
Well, our understanding is a lot better than it was in Salem, but there are still those that don't fully understand, you know?
Right.
People are scared of what they don't understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Absolutely. That's why a lot of people say they're skeptical, too. A lot of good skeptics out there, but a lot of people just automatically say they're skeptical because they're afraid to look into it. You know, I always tell people when they say, I don't believe in ghosts, I say, well, how many have you been out looking for? And they say, none. And how can you not say you don't believe in them? You know, you haven't been out looking for them. So
if you are,
yeah, it's kind of like that thing where, go ahead.
If you are a Christian and believe in the afterlife, ghosts are norm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the soul is eternal. The soul is energy. Energy can take any form.
Well, I always say the Bible is the oldest documented case of hauntings that we have.
Absolutely.
And you've stolen that information from me.
Because they surely do speak of ghosts and witches.
Yes, they do. Yes, they don't speak fondly of the witches, but they do speak
of them. No, I can understand why.
So, hey,
do you feel like witches have gotten a bad rap? Like, do you feel like they've been persecuted wrongly?
Some, yes. Because, like I say, the Inquisition, Salem, the majority of it was people going nuts because they didn't understand. They didn't have a scientific explanation at that time, so they turned to the supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I tell you, Linnea, let's jump into your latest book. I believe it's your latest book, The Skulls of Salvation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, first I have to tell you about book one because it carries over into book two.
Okay.
The name of the series is called Of Atlantis, and there's five volumes in the series. This, the second one just got put out like 3 weeks ago. And the first one, it starts on the continent of Atlantis with the last known king of Atlantis called Archimedes. I know he was a Greek mathematician, but I must remember the name from high school and my subconscious because it popped in there, and I said, oh, what a cool name, and I'll use it. But Archimedes has this source of untapped superhuman power.
Wait, Archimedes, and, is that like the sword in the stone, Archimedes?
The main character.
Oh, okay.
And his father, who he preceded as, who he followed as king, doesn't know where the powers come from, but his mother, the queen, does. His father has an advisor. His name is Yurik. And he has the same power. And Yurik chases Archimedes throughout history, having the thought that if he can harness the powers of Archimedes along with his own, it will make him powerful enough to become master of the universe. So book two,
like He-Man.
For real. But
I love He-Man.
Book two deals with the apprentice of Archimedes named Damian and his wife Ayana. And they go to Belize to thwart what is going to happen in 2012. But unlike, you know, Indiana Jones that just did the Crystal Skulls or the movie 2012 about the Mayan Doomsday Prophecy, I weave the two together. Mm-hmm. It's pretty self-explanatory, Skulls of Salvation, I mean.
Yeah.
But it's a great read. And I was so obsessed with this, I went and did research on 2012 on my own.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Linnea, the funny thing is when I heard you were coming on, I didn't know your book was fictional. So I started looking up and reading everything I could on the Crystal Skulls. And I know you've done research yourself. I mean, you have to, you know, to do your book. But I understand there was supposed to be 13.
And there are 13.
Yeah, there's supposed to be 13. Not all of them have been found that I know of, correct?
Eight have been found.
Now, I've seen some of them, one of them in the Smithsonian. One lady, actually, she was the daughter of a great explorer, and he was...
Anna Mitchell Hedges.
Yeah, she actually lived here in Indiana in her later days up until her death, and she possessed Crystal Skull.
Why does everything end up living in Indiana?
It's just the way it is. Everything falls this way, you know?
Because even if it doesn't, Sean makes sure it does.
Indiana wants me. Maybe that's why.
That's it.
Indiana wants you.
But, you know, I was looking
at... I've been there. They do have a good Hooters, and that's about it.
Yeah, they do. Hey, the Slippery Noodle, the Haunted Inn there by John.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but, Linnea, the thing about the Crystal Skulls is nobody is going to come out. Nobody's been able to come out and say 100% that these things are real. They've checked them out. A lot of scientists have tested them. They said, listen, this can't be from this... you know, time frame, because it's been used. Diamond cutters have been used on it.
Wait, I thought Indiana Jones had confirmed that.
Well,
But you know what
well,
I'm saying
is, he had
the
elongated skull there, Jason. It was different.
Right, right. Well, what I'm saying is, Linnea, it's funny because you write fictional books, and here I'm thinking of, you know, oh, you know, what? Wonder if this whole thing is fictional. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but what if everybody's got it wrong? What if these crystal skulls?
Well, then
skulls,
I guess we'll learn.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the crystal
the
skulls.
The only thing I'm presenting is hypothesis, just like everybody else.
Right.
Because the galactic alignment that's going to occur in 2012 is scientifically proven it's going to happen. Uh-huh. There's nothing we can do to stop that.
Well, no, what's been proven? Because for me, I've been looking at the alignment of the planets is definitely going to happen. We know that, but I mean, we don't know what's going to cause.
Do you think it's going to be like Heroes and like everybody's going to get superpowers then?
No. The alignment that I'm talking about only happens every 25,800 years, so it's not the planet. What I'm talking about is the Milky Way, the Sun, and the Earth in total trajectory of each other. Now, you think about this. Our ozone layer has a hole in it. Okay, the Mayans called the Milky Way the center of our universe, which in the very middle they call the Dark Rift, which is thought to be a black hole. And with it being a black hole, it would cause immense gravitational pull. It has also been noted that the Sun will be at its peak of solar activity starting December of 2011-2012.
Well,
In 2012, it peaks its solar activity.
Well, 2012 is like when it starts doing its solar flares again, right?
Right.
Because we're in the dead period of solar flares right now.
If the immense gravitational pull causes the magnetic forces of the sun to go crazy, if we have a sunburst or gamma ray burst come toward us, you might as well hang it up.
Well, you know, you said that peaks in 2012. I see. I peaked myself at 16. So
yeah, you probably peaked 15 minutes ago.
We like to have fun. Good times.
We're still waiting for Jason to peak.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, I've been peaking plenty.
Yeah. But you know,
now, if you think about it, it's scary.
Now, what do you think the skulls are, Linnea?
What do I think the skulls are? They were brought here from another dimension or another planet. That's what I believe. Edgar Casey, the sleeping prophet, when he went into his trances, he always said the High Council of Atlantis helped him. The High Council of Atlantis consisted of 13. There are 13 crystal skulls. So I believe there's some sort of ancient computer because they're made out of quartz crystal. And what's in our computers for microchips? Quartz crystal.
Well, I mean, but that's 13. I mean, there's 13 original colonies. I mean, there's a lot of 13s. What makes you think that it's the skulls?
I had a very dear friend of mine that got the opportunity to see the Mitchell Hedges skull.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she's very intuitive, and she told me that I would not believe the power she felt coming for that skull. And I believe her, because, like I say, I know she's very intuitive. I even had someone tell me another skull that travels around the United States, his name is Max. This man he was a photographer for a magazine, his magazine, and he said that, you know, he took pictures like he was on a ghost hunt, like every 3 seconds or something. And he caught energy emitting from the skull, but he couldn't explain it. So there's something to him.
Yeah, well, I think there could be possibly something to it. I'm open-minded now. It kind of hurts the fact that there's no evidence of where they were even found. I mean, there's people saying that they found them here, but there's no evidence to back that up. Like, it wasn't the famous explorer that found the, I think it's the Hedges skull, but his daughter, right?
Yeah, she looked down in a trench, and she saw something shiny. Mm-hmm. So her father lowered her down every night like that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is about that. What I read about, she had found it under a under like a sacrificial altar, and they actually called it the Skull of Doom because they believed it was used by prophets to sacrifice bodies. Or that's what I read. I mean, there's 50 million different stories out there about it, and. I mean, do you think the other skulls will be found before 2012 and something?
No.
Uh-uh. No, you don't.
Well, who is to say they don't already have all 13? Because I am the world's worst for conspiracy theories. And I believe if they had them all, they wouldn't tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I believe because I am quite the ancient history buff. And in my books, they're steeped in history. But my facts are right. My facts are straight. That's why it's called historical fantasy stuff.
So now, do you think that the actual crystal skulls, do you think that they can be harnessed for both good and evil use?
Absolutely.
Well, what could they actually be used for in good or evil? What is the power of these skulls that it's going to be used?
I really don't know, but I do know that if the skulls are emitting some kind of energy, the person with a right frame of mind could manipulate the energy.
Now,
so kind of like the Green Lantern's ring.
Yes, yes.
Only you, Jason, only you. Now, have they found any way to actually measure this energy that's supposed to be coming from the skulls?
Not yet. They haven't got that far yet. Or if they had, we're not told. Because I believe there's a lot we're not talking about.
Now, what else do you think is going to happen in 2012? I mean, I don't think you've actually came out and said you think the end of the world's coming in 2012. What do you believe is going to happen in 2012? We know about the solar alignment.
Nobody knows. I mean, like the Mayans, they said it could either be one of two things. An awakening or the end of days. And if it's an awakening, it's starting to happen now. Because more people are in touch with their spirituality right now than ever before. And why? Because of the winter solstice of 2012.
Okay, so, I mean, when you say that they awaken their spirituality, what sorts of things are you finding are happening?
Like, you know, all these little kids that are being born now, they call them children of the light. Because, you know, they hadn't been tainted by society, and they're more into their brains and psychic ability, more so than we've ever seen before.
Oh, so you mean like the Indigo Kids?
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, do you think this will happen in adults, too? Like, is this going to be something that they'll adults will be developing as well, or just children?
Yes, I do. If you have an open mind, I think you've got to have an open mind. But, you know, in 2012, something cataclysmic may happen. Just for the pure fact to open up the skeptic's eyes. And then they probably wouldn't say it was true anyway. Have to hit them with a fleet of Mack trucks or something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. And there's so much stuff going on there about the Crystal Skulls. Nobody knows the truth. That's the kind of that's the link I was making between fictional books and the books that are out there that claim to be facts. And because we just don't know what's going to happen. At this point, everything's fiction.
Because that's right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and we just don't know what's in store for us, but we got to keep smiling and keep pushing on and hope for the best. And I'd like to get one of those crystal skulls. The closest I come was the crystal skull vodka. I thought I'd get a bottle of that and put it on my shelf.
I've got one of those looking at me right
now. I got one of
the
crystal skull things out of the cereal when the movie came out.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I got the crystal skull spoon That glowed.
Yeah, that's what I got. Was the spoon?
Oh, see, that might be the 12th skull or 10th or whatever. You never know.
Well, brought to you by Kellogg's.
Now, Liana, can you give the listeners a little bit of like an overview of what they can expect from the book, and then tell them where they can find it?
Absolutely. Like I said, it's about the apprentice of Archimedes and his wife, and they go to Belize trying to hunt the crystal skulls, because unlike the movie, I use the crystal skulls to give hope.
Okay, so the skulls are actually a symbol of hope for the future.
Absolutely.
And can you tell people where they can find the books?
Yes, go to my website, www.lanaislair, that's LanaisLair.com. Go to the homepage, you'll see my books, and you will also see the first CD of my poetry ever recorded.
Now, Liana, do you think that we should like keep booking guests past December 21st, 2012? Are we going to need to keep booking guests for a show after that?
You know, I think I would. I would be safe and sorry.
Well, Liana, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We actually got your Christmas poem too, and I think for Christmas when that comes around, we're going to play that for everybody. Your dark Christmas poem.
That's great.
So, and we'll be sure to give you a shout out for that too, and remind people where they can find you. And folks, don't forget, if you've not heard Liana's poems before or read her books, go to Liana's Lair, LanaisLair.com, and of course it'll be on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter webpage, and it'll be on the past guests link, so just check it out at ghostanddemon.com. You can click on it there and go straight to our webpage. And Liana, thank you so much for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Okay, thank you for having me.
It was a great pleasure, and next time we're down in North Carolina, we'll have to let you know so you can. We come down there about once a year.
Well, I'll make sure I come see you.
All right, you have a good night now.
Take care.
All right, you too. Thank you. Right.
Thank you, Liana. Bye-bye. Everybody, that was Liana Lair of. And I started to get a bad connection there for a second, so I figured we better wrap that up before we lost it. You know, it's funny. Charles was telling me we lost the internet again, Sean, just before we went live tonight. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so Charles was telling me if the internet went down, he told me how to fix it because he wasn't going to be here. So I was like, honestly, Charles, if you're not here and the internet goes down, I'm guessing the show's over for the night. But
yeah, it's a wrap.
But fortunately, we're okay right now, and it sounds a little better right now. So, you know, and like she was saying, Sean, 2012, I mean, that's December 21st. I'm going to buy a lot of gifts for people that year. And when it comes around time to pay the credit card bills, I'm going to say, I thought I was going to be dead. I didn't know.
Right. I think they still
collect. Not sure that your MasterCard is really going to like that very much, Nathan.
And MasterCard is the only card I have left. So, well, what do you do, though? Do you think there's going to be people actually exchanging gifts on, like, the 20th instead of the 25th, just in case?
No, I don't. I don't think anything's going to happen, man. I think it's going to – I said this before on the show. I think it's going to go on as normal. I don't think a lot of people are buying into the crap because we've heard it for so many times. Heck, the end of the world was supposed to come at least 10 times since I'm 34 years old.
Yeah, I remember Y2K was coming, we went through the same thing.
Right.
Oh, I had friends who were in bunkers the night of Y2K.
I don't know.
I was at a black tie fondue party that year. I
got really drunk that year and passed out underneath my buddy's kitchen table. And
you passed out under your buddy?
Sleeping on his head.
What was
you under his table? Did you urinate on yourself?
And is that how you got the name Cat Dancer?
Not that year.
Because is that how you got the name Cat Dancer? Because the cat was dancing on your head.
Nobody's ever called me Cat Dancer. What are you talking
sexy
about?
Time.
Oh, sexy. What was the name?
Why
there?
Do you curse me, Gypsy?
I don't know. It's just fun. You're fun to curse.
Sexy time.
I've already buried you alive once and yes, marked and you for
tied,
death.
Hey,
and
I, got hey, up and I don't remember it. Nobody digging like I was, okay? I remember digging a hole, sweating in the middle.
Yeah, we had to work off some of that extra weight for you, though.
Yeah.
So you could fit in the wetsuit.
Jason threw a couple handfuls of dirt off to the side. Wow.
I didn't get paid extra to shovel.
I know. But I'm
a respected actor.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I...
Community actor.
Sex Panther don't dig for nobody.
Sex Panther. Sex Kitten.
Sex
yeah,
Kitten.
I know,
that's
man.
It. Here I was thinking Kitty Dancer. That's where you got the name for the sex kitten was because you woke up with a kitty on your
I've
face.
Oh, I've made some kitties dance. Don't worry about that.
I don't know, man. What a good show we had tonight. Linnea is coming on. I'm actually working on getting a person on to speak about the Crystal Skull. Someone that's been on location with these items.
They just seem so bizarre to me, Sean. Because where do they come from? What you know? It's that's the odd thing. Are they fakes? Are they real? I don't know.
I saw the one Crystal Skull at TapsCon last year or a year before. And one of the things that was interesting that I saw happen was there was a lady who had cancer, and she traveled like 600 miles or something so that she could lay her hands on the skull. And whether it worked or not, to me, was kind of irrelevant just to watch like this emotional connection when the woman put her hands on the skull. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Wow.
But what if we have a total wrong idea about the skulls? What if they were used to suck the life out of a person?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
how much
you got to pick
charge
your battles,
her at the
I
conference?
Guess.
How much did they charge her at the conference to put her hands on the skull?
They let her put her hands on it for free, and then they think they charge her like $20 for something else.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You got to love that stuff, man. Those conventions, they're great. They're great. Everybody should go.
Well, we try to get to the conventions, too. I mean, that's where a lot of the fun takes place, right?
I guess.
Not at TapsCon. TapsCon sucked.
But, you know, it's 2012 is coming up, man. And it's, you know, everybody, like we talked about last week, guys, and all the freaks are going nuts. They're saying it's the end of the world and it's the wrath of God coming back and the dead shall rise, the sea shall boil, all that stuff. And, you know, I think it's amazing. And you know what? If that stuff does happen, why should we care? What can we do?
We can't do anything. You know, it's like a situation you can't prepare for. And honestly, the only thing that's got me worried at all for 2012 is the fact that the solar flares are going to be coming back up. And right now, everything is run on electricity. There's nothing right. It's not like we have backup power generators for our refrigerators or our medical equipment or anything like that. It's a good solar flare that hits the atmosphere just right could wipe out electricity on this planet using an EMF.
I think the only thing that's going to happen.
We'll finally know what happened to Martin Nelson.
Not an EMF, I'm sorry. That's
my mama!
Yeah, but I think the only thing that's going to happen in 2012 is that Jason Gowen might take a shower. I think that might happen.
Oh, I've been showering quite a bit.
Since the video?
Yeah,
Since the video where Tim Yancey filmed you showering?
Oh, yeah, I've been showering a lot lately.
I'm going to have to get on this phone call with you and Sean later and find out what's been going on this week, because this sounds interesting.
I already told you.
Oh, okay.
I'm in love.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jason, I'm not ready to come out with that information yet. So let's keep that from everybody else, okay?
Too late.
Even if I was gay, you would be the last man I would be with.
Whatever. No. You'd be the first one.
No, Kenny Bitter would be first, and then you.
Jason has his choice. He is a star on Chubarama, okay?
That is true.
But yeah, what a week, man. What a life. Oh my God. We're starting this 2012. I guess it's even getting us, man. We're trying to book the guests to get you guys what you want, you know, talking about the Crystal Skull, stuff like that. And of course, we don't know who we got in store for you next week, but it's always a surprise here at the G&D show. I think it's Gowan's week to get a guest, and So we'll never know. We'll never know what's going on. I think it's some cool stories we covered, though, about the witches, man. They're
Jason, you can't get the webmaster for Chevarama. That's
Oh, trust me, I don't want that at all.
But apparently,
you know who I've been trying to get, and I didn't tell you guys about this, but Emily Duravin, she plays Claire in Lost.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to get her for the show.
You've just been trying to get her. Admit it.
No, that is not true.
But see,
Jason's in love, so he has to be good now. So, Sean, we can pick on Jason for a lot more things, and he can't fight back.
There you go. Yeah, he can't fight back anyway. Little man.
Put down your hamburger and shut your mouth, Tubby.
I was just going to read a story, but I'll save it for next week. But this whole witchcraft thing, it's not just Saudi Arabia, guys. It's everywhere. Southern Africa, Northern Africa. It's moving towards the United States. I doubt it ever happened here. But it's coming up on 2012, and people don't want to get jinxed by witchcraft.
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm still setting the coffee on December 20th for the wake up that morning.
I'll have a bottle of Jack Daniels sitting right by the bed.
If the world does end that last night, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to order as many chicken wings as possible, and I'm going to watch the Rudolph Christmas special, and that's how I'm going out.
Charlie wants to be a dentist.
Nobody wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
Charlie.
We are, man. This show,
I
we are
be
the mis-
a dentist.
We are the misfit toys of the paranormal. I heard us referred to as the Trailer Park Ghostbusters. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that, actually. That's an upgrade. We are the dust of the earth kind of people, man. We make up America.
I hope America's made up better than the three of us.
I just don't want to get thrown out of America for what I do.
They might ship you to Saudi Arabia.
You're safe right now, Nathan.
Yeah. You are a closet cutter or whatever.
Hey,
and of course, guys, we're not joking about that because it's very wrong. If there's children up and listening, we say
put
don't
them to
ever.
Bed. But
yeah, they should be in bed.
I think the lesson you learned from our show is don't ever copy Nathan Schoonover.
Hey, right. Hey, you tell me the religion out there that does not have some significance with blood.
Right. Well, I got to tell you guys, you and Jason have been doing your radio shows, guys.
We did one show.
My first one that I'm coming out and talking about the show and talking about me a little bit is going to be on Tuesday, hopefully on the Jeff Sylvia show.
Ooh.
And we're booked, and we're supposed to do that around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it should be a good show. You know, and I was thinking about all the fans of Extreme Paranormal as well as the naysayers and the people that don't like it. And, you know, I'll say it on the show, the same thing I'll say on the air, and I've talked to you guys about it. It's a TV show. We all know stuff happened. We all know it was very cool and very real. But it's a TV show. If you don't like it, I don't know
watch
how to
watch Golden Girls.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
are they a competition?
They were one of the weeks.
I think. And you know what? It's another thing that Gowan was saying something to me this week, Nathan, about somebody had said, I demand an explanation. Well, where I come from, to explain yourself means you're admitting guilt to some kind of wrongdoing, or you have been involved in something wrong. I feel like none of us have been involved in anything misleading or anything in that way, and I don't believe I have to explain myself to anybody.
The only thing I'm gonna justify is I really am sorry that my ass crack was on television. Like, I didn't intend for that, and I apologize if you had to see it.
Oh, we all wish we hadn't had to see that, Jason. But
except Sean, who actually liked it.
Yes, well,
right. I did. Look creamy to me. Look creamy.
Oh, it's, wait.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I just wanted it out there that I did not find Jason's butt creamy. So
I think that's the only show I've seen where they've had to blurt out somebody's butt crack.
At least the only paranormal show out there. Yeah.
You don't see my ass crack on a Ghost Hunter show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We promised real horror and we gave it to them.
There you go.
And hi-fi.
Oh, well, you know what? The nice thing is we try and keep it positive. We try and keep ourselves like really going in all directions so that we can try to do everything we can to bring more answers to the paranormal community. And if people have something negative to say, that's why we're out there. If people weren't talking, we'd be doing something wrong. But let them talk about it. We're not gonna, you know, it's their job. And yeah. We're glad all you folks out there like listening to the show every week and enjoyed Extreme Paranormal.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And what a great week. I'm not ready to start another week. I'll tell you, that's the bad thing about our show. It's always on Sunday night. And now I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go upstairs and watch Roseanne on TV Land. And it's the only thing good on TV. There's nothing else good on TV, man.
Well, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours actually uploading the show. And hopefully this week I won't hit the wrong button, because I found out on Friday that our show didn't upload last week. So last week's show was not up on the archives. And finally on Friday, somebody told me and I was able to upload it. So people have been emailing me all week saying I need my Ghostman and Demon Hunter fix. I didn't know what they meant because nobody told me that the archive wasn't up. So
yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it gets past us, guys, because all three of us work all the time, and we do the show in our spare time. So not everything, you know, some things get past us. Actually, a lot of things get past us, like the sexuality of Jason Gowen. Man, woman, what? I mean, it's like Pat from SNL. Remember?
Sex kitten.
It's like Pat. Da, 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 da. It's Pat.
That's how I roll.
I challenge you to a duel. I will fight for her honor right here, right now.
To the death.
You are a real man. I challenge you to a
cheeseburger eating contest in her honor.
Yeah. Cheeseburger. All right, what a show. Let's put this one to bed, guys. Let's put a bullet in it.
Let's do that, Sean, and let's take the chance to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, absolutely. Let's take this opportunity, guys. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. We're going to miss you. Have a great week. Don't work too hard. And hey, be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums, because we really want to hear from you. Make sure you go in there this week, guys. Tell us what you think we should do about this book, how to raffle it off.
And join us next week, lucky December 13th, Sunday, December 13th, for another great Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We look forward to having you all here to... Because I know I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's always a puzzle, an enigma.
It's a surprise.
A conundrum, Gowen, if you will.
Do you got anything to say to the peeps?
No, but I love all of you.
Give him a kiss, most, Gowen. Kenny. Give him a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Good week, guys. Mm-hmm.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like much where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, a slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.